Welcome, 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 everybody. Today is December 19th, 2024. We are less than a week away from Christmas. I am your host, Vince Russo, and this is Vince Russo Before My Head Explodes. I hope everybody's getting ready for the holiday season. I know I am. The last 2 days, I had a lot of family come in. My daughter Annie came in from Brooklyn, New York yesterday. And my son Will and his lovely wife Molly came in from Atlanta today with my two granddaughters, Amelia and Emery. Everybody's going to be here for Christmas except my middle son, VJ, who is going to be out of state with his girlfriend. I almost made it, man. I almost had them all here for Christmas. Man, guys, I've talked about this before on my shows. One of my goals throughout my entire lifetime was trying to keep my family together in one place because that's how I grew up. You know, I grew up with a house full of relatives all the time. I grew up visiting my grandparents every single weekend. And it was just always, always about family. And that was something that was very, very important to me. And as my kids got older, I was doing everything I possibly could to keep us all centrally located. But man, this day and age, it is almost impossible. I got one out of three children still here in Colorado with me. That's my middle son, VJ. But as I said, I got a daughter in New York. I got another son in Atlanta. It sucks, bro. Like, it really, really sucks. It's so hard to keep a family together. And I'm going to talk about a little family story today that's very, very disturbing. I've been reading the last couple of days between Dennis Rodman and his daughter, Trinity. And there's just a few things I want to say about this in general. And, you know, a few things I want to just say about human nature in general that I don't think many of us take into consideration. So we're going to get into that story a little later on. I am burning the midnight oil now. It is 11:45 Eastern time, and I would usually be dropping this show at midnight, but I'm going to be a little late dropping it today, man, because like I said, everything's a little off kilter for me because the family did come into town and I'm trying to give them as much time as possible. So I am trying to juggle podcast around. I had two podcasts tonight. This is the third one I'm doing. It's getting late. I am exhausted, man. Man, you feel it. You really feel your age when there are youngins around. And, you know, chasing around my two granddaughters today, I am absolutely exhausted. And being that we have a full house, I'm going to be spending the night on the couch. So I don't know how much sleep I'm going to get, but I wouldn't have it any other way. I've got an obligation to you. I've got an obligation to the good people at Bleav. So the show must go on. So here I am almost 10 o'clock at night, and I am doing the show for you. And if you are listening, I greatly appreciate it, man. The numbers thus far have been really good for this podcast, piggybacked with the Coach and Bro Show. That is the show I do with Jonathan Coachman And I have all of you to thank for that. And I want you to know that I am very, very appreciative. When I wrapped up the last show, I wanted to talk a little bit about these drones over Jersey. And now they're all over the place. Now it's kind of becoming the norm, you know, because the more these drones are flying around and being spotted all over the country, the less and less people are talking about them. I got to be honest, man. When I first heard these drone stories and I was seeing some of this footage, I was thinking early on, are the little green people here? I mean, are they here? Man, there was a prediction that was supposed to happen like at the beginning of the month. I remember the great Ben Hameen was talking about this. Like on December 6th or something, there was supposed to be an actual UFO war or something like this, something that people were predicting. Here we were now, a few days later, there's these hundreds and hundreds of drones flying around and nobody's getting any answers. Even though we are getting answers, as you read between the lines, and that's the only way, man, you're going to get anything out of this, is to read between the lines. Because, man, we live in a country, bro, where we are on a need to know basis. And what the government feels we don't need to know, they're not going to tell us. But this is nothing new, man. This has been going on since the beginning of time. But for the government to tell us we have no idea what these things are, but they are not harmful to us, well, how would we know that if we have no idea what they are? That makes absolutely no sense. We would know they weren't harmful to us if we knew what they were. So in just all the reading and all the research that I've been doing, I think it is pretty clear and evident that they are ours. I mean, the government. Because if this thing, if they weren't and they didn't know what they were, these things would be being shot down. Are you kidding, man? With our military and with the United States security, you think they would let these things fly around rampant, dozens of them, hundreds of them even, if they had no idea what they were? No way, no how. The reason that is not happening is because they do know exactly what they are and what they are doing. And they feel that we don't need to know. And a lot of people say, man, that they're scanning the ground and they're looking for something, whether it's radioactive material, whether it's a gas leak. But a lot of people who specialize in drones say the patterns of most of these drones look like they're in some type of a sweeping motion and they may be looking for something. But it's amazing, man, like with the news, when something happens, anything, it is such a hot topic. And for the first 24 hours, man, that is what everybody is talking about. But usually day two, day three, day four, it keeps getting closer and closer and closer to the back page. And that's what seems to be happening now with this story. You know, man, I don't know, man. I don't know if they're, you know, looking for something, if they're sweeping, you know, areas in New Jersey or on the East Coast. I don't know if they're running a play in order to condition us for something. Who knows? The only thing I do know is, man, I am so tired as a U.S. citizen to be kept in the dark over these things. You know, unless it is a situation that would throw the general public into a full out panic, and you would have people panicking in the streets. I mean, unless it's something like that. But I just have a feeling, man, and I could be totally wrong and I could be totally off base. I have a feeling that when Trump gets into office, just a lot of these secrets may disappear. And we may find out a lot more about a lot of things. I could be totally wrong, but that is what he's publicly saying. I mean, he's saying he's going to release all the JFK files. He is even saying now that the government knows exactly what these drones are and they're not telling us. And then you got to ask yourself, is this something that is tied into the inauguration on January 6th? I mean, we don't know. But I think it is apparent to everybody that something is going on. And that's why I always say, man, do your research. Go down that rabbit hole, man. Read for yourself. It's amazing what you can find out on the internet. Absolutely amazing. And, you know, a lot of times, man, you either got to educate yourself and find out what the hell is going on, or just believe everything you hear. You can't believe everything you see because you don't know what these things are. But there is definitely something going on, and I do believe they know exactly what it is. And I guess in time when they think we are good and ready, then they are going to tell us. But I don't know, man. Why treat us like absolute mindless morons? You know, deciding what we can handle and what we can't handle. So we'll see, man. I just got a feeling. I swear, man. I just got a feeling that the drones are going to stop. It's going to be a dead story. Nobody's going to talk about it. And the questions are going to stop. And that is the way it's going to end, man. That is the way things usually end. So we shall see. But like I said, guys, do the research, man. Educate yourself. You have the right to know. Even though they may think you don't have a right to know, you have a right. Are you a taxpayer? Do you pay taxes? Do you live in this country? Are you a good citizen? Then you have every right to know. So we'll keep our eye on this, man. If there's anything more to report in the days or months to come, I certainly will be all over this story. I'm going to come back, man. I'm going to tell you, there's no wrestling talk on this show, but something happened this past week that really, really, really annoyed me. And man, bro, I've really had it up to my eyeballs with professional wrestlers and the professional wrestling business and the make-believe world that they live in, And I am going to get a little bit into that when I get back, man. So don't go anywhere. I got a lot that I want to say, man, on the other side of this. Stay tuned, man. This is Vince Russo before my head explodes. All right, everybody, I am back. I hope you are still here. You know, guys, I'm gonna tell you something on the surface, because this really isn't wrestling talk. This is a little talk about the profession of professional wrestling. It's two completely different things. You know, guys, you got to know, man, I've worked a lot of places. I worked for CBS Publishing, man, the CBS. That was my first job out of college. So I worked for one of the major entertainment giants. So I saw a lot. I also own many of my own businesses. So I've been out there. I've been a store owner. I've dealt with a lot of people. I've met a lot of people in my life. But the professional wrestler, this is a person who is a worker, and their entire life, they are working the crowd or working the audience to believe what they're seeing is real. Professional wrestling is a work. It is not real. It is staged. It is written. It is choreographed. There is nothing about it that is real. It is a show. It is a television show. So if you fall into the category of professional wrestler, your profession is to work people. Your profession is to lie to people. And in the interim, you know, you kind of become like a carny, you kind of become like a used car salesman, because nothing is the truth. And it's funny, because the extension of real life in the life of a professional wrestler is a work. Professional wrestlers believe that everything is a work. And once you're in that business, man, it remains a work, and you remain a worker into your 50s and your 60s and your 70s until you die. Because that is all you know, bro. All you know is how to work people and lie to people and be dishonest to people. And this is what I always refer to as the wrestling bubble. Now, as somebody who's from New York, if you guys know New Yorkers, if you've been around New Yorkers, if you're a New Yorker yourself, man, you know, you shoot straight. You got a problem with somebody, you go up to them, you tell them what the problem is, and you hash the problem out. There's no going behind people's backs, man. There's no backstabbing. There's no bullshit. It is honesty, face-to-face honesty. And that's how I grew up, and that's how I was taught. But, bro, when you're entering a world full of con men, and carnies, and workers, and liars, you can imagine the truth does not work. They don't want to hear the truth. They can't deal with the truth. And a lot of times, it's because the truth exposes them as workers. So when you got a guy come along that's truthful, you're going to have issues. And I've spent a long part of my career dealing with those issues. And, you know, it's funny because a real liar, a true liar, will state that everybody else is lying. When somebody is calling somebody else a liar, that's because they're the ones usually lying. And they have to cover up the truth. And I've been called a liar so many times, man. Never in my real life. Never. Never. 41 years of a faithful marriage. Always shooting straight with my kids and my friends. But in wrestling, oh my God, I can't tell you how many times I've been called a liar. And when somebody calls me a liar, my first question is, okay, what exactly am I lying about? And there's never an answer to that. It's just that you're a liar. This week, one of these carnies, a professional wrestler who can't let it go, who is well into his 50s now, still living in the bubble, referred to me as a liar based on something I documented over 25 years ago. 25 years ago. And I've told the same story with the same facts for 25 years. But according to this person, I am lying about it. Guys, I got to tell you something, man. The notion or idea about me lying over professional wrestling is so comical to me. Wrestling is not important enough to lie about. There is nothing that happened or didn't happen in my wrestling career that I would have to lie about. And I take great pride, man, in being honest. And my honesty has gotten me in trouble. But I mean, let's look at some of the things people would lie over. I mean, I could understand somebody, you know, cheating on their spouse and lying about it. I could see somebody committing a crime and lying about it. I could see somebody committing murder and lying about it. I could also see lying about something if you don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. So there are reasons that would almost justify a lie. Not in wrestling. That's a joke. Wrestling, the business is an absolute joke. And for somebody to say, I am lying about something that took place in my career is just so beyond laughable to me. I am about to turn 64. In a month. I've got grandkids. I've been out of the wrestling business now. It's going to be 13 years in January. 13 years. And you honestly believe I am going to lie about things that happened in a carny business that was nothing more than a job to me, that things were so monumental and so important and so life and death that I've got to lie about them? You know what a freaking joke that is? That's why I don't have respect for the wrestling business, man. I've never had respect for the wrestling business. And that's because of the majority of people in it. They're not good people. They're not good human beings. They have an agenda. They don't tell the truth. They do work you. And the sad thing is, they're working you and they're not telling the truth without them even realizing it, because that is their way of life. That is what they do. That is what they've been doing for 10, 20, 30 years. That is what they do. So many of them honestly do not know the difference between fact and fiction. They don't. That is why I always made sure I kept the business at an arm's length. I was never going to become a part of that bubble. Never. I wasn't when I was in it. I certainly am not now. So any of the boys or any of these wrestlers that want to refer to me as a liar, you know what? Kiss my ass. You know who the real liar is. The real liar is still trying to be a part of the business in their 50s, in their 60s, because they can't do anything else. They can't cope. They can't live. They can't exist in the real world. And, you know, I don't know, bro. Is it chic? Is it cool to get over with the marks by referring to Vince Russo as a liar? You know what, bro? If your life is so low that you need to get over with wrestling marks, then you got my permission, man. You got my permission to say whatever you want to say about me. If that's all you have in your life is to kiss the ass of wrestling marks so you are in favor with them, and that is the most important thing to you, bro, knock yourself out. Because at that point, I really, really, I truly and honestly feel sorry for you. You know, bro, a lot of times we are a victim of our circumstances, just like professional wrestlers. They're in a make-believe world. They're in a fairy tale world. It's not real. Therefore, their life becomes not real because that's all they know. Are we working? Are we shooting? Are we telling the truth? Are we lying? They don't even know, man. You heard Vince McMahon talk about it in that documentary. There were like, what, three Vince McMahons, he says? They don't know what's reality and what's fiction. And that's why with a lot of people, man, you really got to get to the root of who people are. Which leads me to my next story, man, about Dennis Rodman and his daughter, Trinity. And there are a few things I want to say about this story that I found very, very, very interesting. And I am going to come back, and we are going to get into detail about this, because there's really some lessons to be learned. And I am hoping that it will shed a light on certain things that can help you be a better person and perhaps look at others a little differently. I'm going to discuss that, man, when I come back to Vince Russo before my head explodes. I am back. Welcome, 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 everybody. Story broke a couple of days ago. USWNT star Trinity Rodman says relationship with father Dennis is strained. United States forward Trinity Rodman says her relationship with the father Dennis Rodman remains strained and that he is still largely absent from her life. He's not a dad. Maybe by blood, but nothing else, Trinity Rodman told host Alex Cooper on the Call Her Daddy podcast on Wednesday. The podcast comments echo what Trinity Rodman told ESPN Charlotte Gibson in June of 2022. Rodman said that growing up, her mother tried to shield her two children from the chaotic lifestyle of the former NBA star. Rodman's mother, Michelle Moyer, divorced Dennis Rodman in 2012. Trinity Rodman, who won a gold medal with the United States this summer at the Paris Olympics, has a brother, DJ Rodman, who plays in the NBA's G League. Dennis Rodman responded to his daughter on Instagram saying, "He is sorry he wasn't the dad you wanted me to be," and said he tried to be a father and will keep trying. "I will try even when it's difficult and if it takes a long time. I'm always here and tell you all the time, rather it's your voice or voicemail, how proud I am. I always had one wish, and it was, I wish my kids would call me and come see me. Hopefully one day I can get that," he wrote in the post. Trinity Rodman also plays for the Washington Spirit in the Women's Soccer League, recalled how her father showed up unannounced at a Spirit playoff game in 2021. She hadn't spoken to her father in months and was emotional during the game, then was photographed crying in his arms afterwards. "The whistle blew and I was so mad, like, you took this happy moment from me. You effed with my head again," she said on the podcast. "I think after that was when I lost hope of ever getting him back. It was just like he's popping in whenever he's going to be on camera," Trinity Rodman said. "Even at that game, I don't think it was for me. I think he wanted to have a good conscience and then be like, headline, Dennis Rodman showed up to his daughter's game." Trinity Rodman went on to win a title with the Spirit that year, was named NWSL Rookie of the Year. She said that after the game, she didn't speak to her father again until after 2023 Women's World Cup. Trinity Rodman and Spirit lost to Orlando Pride in 2024 NWSL Championship game. Rodman won 5 NBA championships over a 14-year career. He was inducted into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame in 2011. Okay. So according to Trinity, Dennis Rodman was not the picturesque father. He wasn't there for her when she grew up. And listen, man, we all know the Dennis Rodman stories. They are very, very much well documented. We know Rodman was a player. Carmen Electra, the women he had, the gambling, the drugs, the booze, the alcohol. We know it, man. This guy was an absolute loose cannon. So is it a surprise to anybody that he wasn't around for his daughter? However, you got to look a little deeper and you got to ask yourself the question, why? You know, I'm a father. I'm sure a lot of people listening here are fathers or mothers, and you dearly, dearly love your children and would do anything for them. And I also guarantee you that many of you that feel that way came from a solid, loving home where there were two parents and you were taught the importance of family and family structure. Listen to Dennis Rodman's early life. Rodman was born in Trenton, New Jersey, the son of Shirley and Philander Rodman Jr., an Air Force enlisted member who later fought in the Vietnam War. When he was young, his father left his family, eventually settling in the Philippines. Rodman's father left him when he was 3 years old. So at the age of 3, Dennis Rodman did not have a father or a father figure. Rodman has many brothers and sisters. According to his father, he has either 26 or 28 siblings on his father's side. However, Rodman has stated that he is the oldest of a total of 47 children. Yeah. Dennis Rodman had a little bit of an effed up growing up experience. After his father left when he was three, Shirley took many odd jobs to support the family up to four at the same time. In his 1996 biography, Bad As I Want to Be, he expresses his feelings for his father. "I haven't seen my father in more than 30 years. So what's there to miss? I just look at it like this. Some man brought me into this world. That doesn't mean I have a father." He would not meet his father again until 2012. Does that not sound like the same exact sentiments of his daughter Trinity towards him? Exactly to the T. Rodman and his two sisters, Deborah and Kim, grew up in the Oak Cliff section of Dallas. At the time, one of the most impoverished areas in the world. So he grew up poor. His mother was working four jobs. His father left when he was three. Rodman's mother gave him the nickname "the worm" for how he wiggles while playing pinball. Listen to this. Rodman was so attached to his mother that he refused to move when she sent him to a nursery when he was 4 years old. According to Rodman, his mother was more interested in his two sisters, who were both considered more talented than he was in basketball, and made him a laughing stock whenever he tagged along with them. He felt generally overwhelmed by the all-female household. Deborah and Kim would go on to become All-Americans at Louisiana Tech and Stephen S. Austin, respectfully. Deborah won two national titles with the Lady Texters. So you see the childhood here. There was not a father figure. His father left when he was 3 years old. There was nobody there to show Dennis Rodman what a father should be and what a father represents. His mother was working four jobs. She was never home. He was always tending to himself. His mother even tried to pawn him off when he was 4 years old. So this man had no role models growing up, had nobody to teach him how to be a good parent, the responsibilities of a parent, the importance of being a parent, family structure, family unit, family first. He had no family. So when daughter Trinity is talking about her father, "he's only my father by blood." Bro, we are victims of our environment. You know, there are people in my life that I have not gotten along with. And there are people in my life that I have just not liked. But whenever I come across somebody like that, what I try to do is put myself in their shoes. Try to understand them. Why are they this way? There's a reason I don't like this person. This person was not born this way. And every single time, man, when I go back, it has to do with the upbringing, and it has to do with the parents, and it has to do with the love or lack of love that surrounded them as children. It has to do with role models. It has to do with broken families. There's always a pattern there that makes you the person that you are. I was one of the lucky ones. You know, I came from a loving family. My parents were together my whole life. My family was around me. My grandparents were around me. You know, I would watch and observe my grandfather and my grandmother, and I knew the roles and I understood the roles. And I learned the do's and the don'ts from my parents. But if your parents are not there to teach you those do's and don'ts, then who are you supposed to learn from? Now, I'm not making any excuses for Dennis Rodman, because there comes a point in life, man, when we all need to grow up. But if you weren't taught, if you didn't have a blueprint, if you didn't have the role models, if you didn't have the parents necessary, you can't be expected to grow up with the tools that you need. The point is, try to understand people a little better. Not every people live the life that you lived. Not every people lived a life similar to the one you lived in your shoes. All people are different. All upbringings are different. All backgrounds are different. And some of us, perhaps a lot of us, may have had a much more rocky road than we did. That is it, everybody, man. Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining me. Thank you for listening to this show. Also, check out the Coach and the Bro Show. If you want wrestling, me and Jonathan Coachman will bring it to you. That is it, everybody. God bless you all. There will be a show Tuesday at midnight. Take care, everybody. He poisons the locks, but shoot at his baby.